It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Rodgers going for it all, looking to bring it open. He's got it! Lazard! Gonna go! Touchdown!
Rodgers snaps it quick, scrambles to his right, pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon.
Allen has time. Intercepted! Sauce Gardner's got it. Breaking away, Garrett Wilson. Wilson, a big play downfield. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning, 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for the weekend mailbag. So for that, we bring back our friend who is the editor over at JetNation.com, Mr. Glenn Naughton. Glenn, what's up, brother?
Not a whole lot. Just, taking in the little tidbits of Jets news we can get for the days and weeks that we can until things simmer down. And it's a lot of nothing until camp.
By the way, Glenn, thought I should mention, yesterday, believe it or not, marked the six-year anniversary of the beginning of this show. Time flies by. I will say, the crazy thing is, when I started the show, it was as the tank year was approaching with Josh McCown. And this is the first time that I think the Jets have gone into a season since I've been doing Play Like a Jet that fans are actually not only hoping for the Jets to make the playoffs, but outright expecting it. So it's very different this year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I a couple of years ago, I went back and I looked at the Jets record starting from the time I began writing for JetNation.com. And I was like, Jesus, I think I'm the problem. Like I started a year or two after, I can't remember exactly which year, but it's sort of after the playoff runs with Rex and Sanchez. I remember not long after kicking off, I got to sit down on a conference call with an interview with Rex when the Jets were doing some sort of, they were reaching out to social media a little bit. They kind of pulled back from that after a year or two. They've not been good since I've been covering them for Jet Nation, other than, a few years back when they won the 10 games and almost made the playoffs. That's as good. That's been the high watermark. So I'm looking forward to, even that team, even though they didn't make the playoffs, it was nice to talk about wins more often than losses. It was a sort of a foreign concept. And let's be honest, Scott, it's a hell of a lot easier when they're winning. We cover the team, but obviously we're fans, and when you just every week it's talking about losses and what went wrong and how do you fix it and maybe next year, and you're talking about draft position by week 5 or 6, all that stuff, it's like a tough sled when you're doing that. But this year, if all goes well, it's going to be a lot easier to kind of fire up the microphones and talk about this team.
Oh, it's always much more fun when the team is winning. Even for the people that cover the team that aren't fans.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you much rather cover a team that's providing entertaining quality football, being competitive week in and week out? I mean, I've talked to a bunch of the beat writers who cover the team. None of them are fans of the Jets, and they all say the same thing. So hopefully this year it lives up to expectations. Again, we've talked about this on the show, Glenn. I don't know that people should be booking tickets to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl just yet, but I do think that it's fair to not just hope for, but expect this season to be a playoff season. Anything less than that, I think, would be a dramatic failure at this point.
Absolutely. And, and we've said it before, I can't believe the number of people I've seen. I wouldn't expect one person, but I've seen a handful of people say, I'm glad we got Aaron Rodgers. We're a playoff team now. He might bring us to the playoffs. And I'm like, that's the goal isn't playoffs. Like that's, And I've said it before, you could have gone after Ryan Tannehill if the goal was playoffs. That's not the case anymore. So, yeah, I'm expecting. And listen, the more I think about it, Scott, I was thinking about it earlier today, and I know we've discussed it on your show and I've talked about it on my show. I just sort of envision, you look at the numbers Breece Hall put up last year, right, who has, and I'm sure we'll touch on it. Salah said he's hitting 22 on the GPS. Like, he did what he did with absolutely stacked and loaded boxes because there was no quarterback to respect. Teams aren't going to be able to do that this year. So the Jets, for the first time in a very long time, defenses are going to have to pick their poison and say, are we going to let Aaron Rodgers beat us by loading up against the run because the Jets are going to have some good backs, or do we back off to respect Rodgers? And then that means tons of running room for Breece Hall and, Izzy Abanikanda and Michael Carter, whoever the running backs end up being.
Yeah, like I said, Glenn, I think that it's fair for Jets fans to think Aaron Rodgers makes this a playoff team. Thinking they're a Super Bowl team is a whole different story. I think by virtue of being in the playoffs, that puts you in the Super Bowl conversation. I think that's where the Jets are now, but they're certainly not a team that you would bet on as the odds-on favorite or anything close. But even so, just based on what we've seen the last few years, it'll be a nice change of pace to see a team that's entertaining, competitive, and at least has an opportunity to potentially go somewhere. Huge step up from what we've dealt with since we've been covering the team in any form or fashion. With that, let's jump into the mailbag, Glenn, and we will begin with Fergus OB1. He asks, which UDFA do you think has the best chance of making the final 53? I would say probably right now you'd go with Trey Dean, just because he's a guy that a lot of people liked coming out of Florida as a safety. They thought he might be a late round pick, ends up going undrafted. And as we know, the Jets have a very thin safety group. So Trey Dean is the one off the top of my head that really sticks out.
Yeah, Trey Dean is, you know, I've talked about him, you know, right last year. I thought he was going to come out and I liked him as a potential pick. And yeah, based on the lack of depth at the position, I think Trey Dean, I think at least one of the linebackers. I mean, look, these guys played at such small schools, we haven't really seen them yet. But, you know, and even Caleb Johnson played at a bigger school, but he didn't see a ton of action. But between Malik Hall, Claudius Cherlis, you know, these are guys who may have a chance to stick. But I'll you know, to not repeat you with Dean, I'll throw out the name that I've mentioned a few times, Scott Marquise Waters, out of Texas Tech, who does play safety, plays linebacker, just a super versatile defender and a guy, you know, those are the types of guys that can steal a roster spot, these multidimensional guys who you can plug into a lot of places. And I really like Travis Dye, but I just don't know that there's room for him with the depth they have at running back. I think he's a practice squad type, but, you know, he's sort of a good all-around guy. But I think you're spot on with Trey Dean. But you know, like I said, to not steal your answer, I'm going to say give me Marquise Waters.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Ten in Mine. He asks, who is the better prospect coming out of the draft, Jermaine Johnson or Will McDonald? This is a really interesting one. So Jermaine Johnson, the bigger guy at 6'5", 260. Will McDonald at about 236 pounds. Jermaine Johnson, much more polished overall, especially as a run defender. But in terms of overall athleticism and ability to get to the quarterback, Will McDonald has, I think, much more upside. So it's sort of a what do you like from column A, column B sort of thing. And I think that plays into why the Jets like Will McDonald, because those two guys could really complement each other. So I would say that Jermaine Johnson was probably the better player coming out of Florida State than Will McDonald was coming out of Iowa State. But I do think that Will McDonald has a higher ceiling as a pass rusher, even if I'm not sure he'll ever get to Jermaine Johnson's level as a run defender.
Yeah, I think a similar answer for me. I think Jermaine Johnson is the better all-around guy. He can do more for you. But I think Will McDonald, his potential for explosive game-changing plays, you know, he's got the edge there. So it's kind of depending, it's almost situationally, like what are you looking for? If you need a big stop on third and long, like I want Will McDonald. But if I need a guy in maybe a third and five or six, you don't know if it's going to be run or a pass, you want a guy who can do a little bit of everything, then I prefer Jermaine Johnson.
Next question from Luca B. He asks, which player other than Aaron Rodgers do you think is the most valuable for the team going into the 2023 season and why? Quinnen Williams, because he's the best player to start with, but also because everything he does sort of impacts everything else. If he gets things going up front, if he can get to the quarterback up front, it makes life easier for the edge rushers. It makes life easier for the secondary, which needs all the help it could get at the safety position specifically. And it takes a lot of the pressure off of guys like Sauce and DJ Reed to lock guys down for numerous seconds. Obviously, we know that they're capable of doing it, but if they have to do it play after play after play because the pressure isn't coming, eventually the dam is going to break and we're going to see some issues there. So Quinnen Williams sets the tone up there. He's the best player, and I think without a doubt, he's the most important guy they have.
Yeah, and he knows he is, Scott. And it's you know, it's a no-brainer answer. Quinnen's the guy. You know, if you want to go with a second, you'd probably say Sauce behind him. But Quinnen really is the dude up front. I'm trying to find the numbers here. I can't look up. I try to look them up. I think we discussed them a few weeks ago. But the numbers for the Jets defense in terms of getting off the field on third down, just defense overall, the difference between when Quinnen Williams is on the field versus off the field, they go from a high end, you know, top 10 defense when they've got Quinnen on the field. When he's not, they're bottom third of the league. And he's that much of a difference maker. And that's why we're going to see him get a ton of money.
Next question comes in from Beanie Rogers. He asks, can you talk about the potential of Tony Adams and the safety room? I think it's the weakest position on the team. I think that's fair. The safeties are not very good. The Jets just reworked Jordan Whitehead's deal. And a lot of people don't want to hear this, but Jordan Whitehead was not good at all last year, and I'm being kind. And in fact, really, if you look at his tape in Tampa, he wasn't that good there either. I think a lot of people got caught up in his pedigree, being Revis's cousin, having won a Super Bowl in Tampa, some of the highlight reel hits that you saw. But if you went and watched the tape, and Joe Blewett, our friend over at Jets X Factor, has broken down a lot of Jordan Whitehead's tape. It was not very impressive in Tampa, and it was even worse with the Jets. So he's their top safety at the moment. That's concerning. Chuck Clark, I think, is going to be a bit of a hybrid. We talked about this, Glenn. He's going to play some safety, some linebacker, and ultimately that's the only way that a Clark-Whitehead pairing works. But what it does tell you is that they don't really have any kind of solidified answer at free safety. Tony Adams is a guy that played pretty well down the stretch last year, but a very limited sample size. You would hope they'd go out and get some sort of veteran to at least compete with Tony Adams for the job and give them some depth at the spot too. But as of right now, it looks like Tony Adams is who they're going to go with. As I said, he looked good in small sample sizes last year, but with a team that keeps telling everybody that they're in it to win it right now, it seems odd that they would be banking on somebody like that without at least some sort of contingency plan.
Yeah, I think Adams is a guy, and I've been saying for a little while now that I thought they liked him enough that I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up playing a ton this year. Now it looks like that will be the case. But as you said, and I've said this to people in years past, you know, we talk about the positional value of safety. And, you know, it does seem as the years go on, safeties are sort of increasing in importance because they're becoming more athletic and they're doing more, and they're, you know, tight ends are becoming so athletic that you almost need a safety to be able to cover like a corner in some cases. So I think they're undervalued, like from the perspective of the fans. They have more value than they did years ago when guys would just play one spot and be a box safety or whatever. But I digress. I'm getting a little off the path there. The point I was going to make is, yes, I like Adams to get a lot more playing time, but I also think that you see safety is one of those spots that year after year, it seems that around cut down time, you'll see one or two starting caliber guys lose a roster spot for whatever reason, whether it's a cap move or trying to get younger. And I think you almost always see a team snag a starter or, you know, a high level backup after that, you know, after those final cutdowns. And I think the Jets could be a candidate as a team that tries to do that this year.
Next question comes in from Steven Schaefer. He asks, who are the players that are most poised for a jump in production, and which players might take a step back in production from last season? So as far as who might take a jump in production, I would say Tony Adams, who we just discussed, is a good candidate for that. Jermaine Johnson, certainly a very good candidate for that as well. As far as on the other end of it, guys that might fall off a little bit, Connor McGovern, certainly a candidate for that. And CJ Mosley seems to be getting a little bit slower by the year. So just off the top of my head, the two names that pop in as far as who could make a jump this year, Jermaine Johnson, Tony Adams, two guys that I think might take a step back, CJ Mosley, Connor McGovern.
I think a couple guys, I'll go with one guy on each side of the ball who could take a step forward. But he also, I mean, listen, he's got to prove himself again. But I think after the way we saw Michael Carter play last season, he's got to get better. You know, running back Michael Carter, of course, he wasn't nearly as good as he was as a rookie. As we've talked about, you know, the backs are going to have more room to work with as long as he wins that number three job. I think he will. But again, Bam Knight's not going to lay down, let him take it. As I said, Travis Dye can play a little bit. So, you know, keep an eye on him. But I'm sure this is something that was going to come up, Scott, but, you know, it kind of got me thinking this morning, could see an uptick in production. Michael Clemens, you know, Ulbrich said yesterday that Clemens is up to 290 now. He was 263 at the combine. He's now 27 pounds heavier, and they plan on using him at defensive tackle, which is great because, you know, we've talked about how they've added, you know, you added Al Woods, you brought back Solomon Tom, like you brought in a few bodies, but you felt like you needed a little bit more at defensive tackle. Well, they've got more at defensive tackle. Literally, Michael Clemens got, you know, added more weight. He was, like I said, 263 at the combine, listed at 270 last year. He's now up to 290. He's going to play on the interior. You put him next to Quinnen Williams again with this, the way the Jets love to rotate on the D line. I think that I think we could see an uptick in production from him. A little bit of a drop off, I would say, CJ Uzama. Not that he did a whole lot last year, but I really feel like Jeremy Ruckert's going to step up and steal some reps from him this year.
On the subject of Michael Clemens, Glenn, Dave Epstein asks, why is everyone talking about Clemens moving inside and not talking about John Franklin Myers moving inside? Moving John Franklin Myers allows Jermaine Johnson to see more time on the field and quicken his development.
You know, Antoine Staley, Zach Rosenblatt, they both tweeted yesterday that Jeff Ulbrich said that the depth at the edge spot is going to mean more time inside for Franklin Myers and Clemens. So I think we'll see Franklin Myers continue to rotate. You know, he'll play a little bit outside, but I think he'll be on the inside as well. And it just, to me, it gets me that much more excited for the season, because you're just going to have a lot of talented guys up front and now a lot of sort of versatile talented guys up front. So I think we will see both of them on the inside.
Next question comes in from T. Diddy Jammer. He asks, what is the status of Duane Brown? Haven't heard a peep from him. And I like what I saw from Jamie and Sherwood last year. Would like to see him get more time this year. Think he may be a better player now than Mosley. Just doesn't have his leadership yet. I wouldn't go that far with Jamie and Sherwood. He showed some flashes last year. And obviously, as we've talked about, C.J. Mosley has taken a step backward each year. But I don't know that Jamie and Sherwood has proven that he's even a full-time starter yet, let alone on the level of somebody like C.J. Mosley, even with C.J. Mosley's steps back the last few years. As far as Duane Brown, as far as I'm aware, he's going to be ready for camp. Sounds like he's healed up from that shoulder surgery, and he's going to be in line to be the starting left tackle unless Mekhi Becton goes out there, destroys people, and ends up winning that job back.
Yeah, Duane Brown, listen, I don't know if you heard Robert Saleh's comments yesterday or the day before in his presser. Really, to me, took a shot at Becton indirectly, you know, without naming Becton. He was asked about Duane Brown. You know, we all know about the comments from Saleh saying Becton's got to go out and earn it because Becton tweeted that he's a left tackle. And Saleh was asked about Duane Brown yesterday, and he said, look, he doesn't feel entitled. He knows he's not entitled to anything, and he understands he has to go out and earn it. So basically the opposite of what Becton has done. He's saying Duane Brown understands that's what he has to do. And I think he plays left tackle. I think Mekhi Becton could very well go out and outplay him. But I mean, unless he outplays him by miles, if the best five play and Duane Brown is among those five, he only plays left tackle. So that's where he'll be. And Becton will be on the right. And at least that's the way I see it unfolding. And whether Becton likes it or not, I think he's got to understand that they've got to do what's best for the team and not what's best for Mekhi Becton. And I think that means Becton on the right side this year, Brown on the left. If Becton stays healthy and they bring him back next year, fine, he plays on the left. But this year I see Duane Brown as being the guy on the left side.
Next question comes in from Sonder73836. He asks, who do you see complimenting Quinnen Williams the most inside on either down? Any surprises? I want someone to stand out and demand defensive tackle too. Well, we talked about John Franklin Myers and Michael Clemens. You'll see some Solomon Thomas. But the two guys that I think are going to be interesting are the Seattle guys, Quentin Jefferson and Al Woods. Woods is a really effective run stuffer. And Quentin Jefferson is a really effective pass rusher from the inside. So I think the way that they mix and match those two with Quinnen Williams will be fascinating, because Woods will be in there on early downs when there's potential for the run. And on later downs, especially when it's third and long, you'll see a lot of Quentin Jefferson, who had a very successful pressure rate last year, and that's really his game. Like I said, Al Woods, not really known for getting to the quarterback. Quentin Jefferson, pretty poor defending the run. But if you use those two effectively to swap in and out, that could be a really nice complement to Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, I think that Jefferson is a guy who is getting the least talk, like the guy who should be getting talked about more, but no one talks about him. And I'm guilty of it too. We haven't talked about him a ton on our show, but he's one of those guys that every now and then you see a team add a free agent and you start digging in and seeing what they bring. And when you looked at his numbers, Jefferson's numbers, it was almost too good to be true. Like, how did you just get an interior defensive lineman who had 50 pressures last year? That's a big number for an interior D lineman. 50 pressures last year, and it wasn't as if the Jets had to get in this huge bidding war and pay an enormous sum of money to get Jefferson. So, yeah, Woods is the run stuffer, but Jefferson and Quinnen Williams is, you know, a tandem that I'm looking forward to seeing on this interior. And part of the reason I said what I said a few minutes ago, like, I'm excited about this D line, especially now knowing what we know with Clemens and Franklin Myers, you've got Woods, you've got Jefferson. Like, these are some players. And this is, you know, you combine it with the corner tandem, and this, you know, of course there's weaknesses at safety, but this defense has the talent to be a really special group.
That's going to wrap up part one of the weekend mailbag. Make sure that you check out everything that Glenn is doing at JetNation.com. Check out everything that we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has some awesome All-22 breakdowns on our channel, including the newest Jet, Al Woods, the run stuffer from Seattle. Plus, he's also got a bunch of the newest draft picks that the Jets brought into the fold in the 2023 NFL Draft. So watch our videos and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, youtube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital at playlikeajet.com.